Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about some very important issues today, a variety of them that all dovetail into the fact that we're a constitutional republic. We need to be aware of what we're doing in our nation in erasing or attempting to erase our history. That's being carried out by people across America that claim that the monuments are racist, and they all need to come down. In fact, articles that I've read, one article said 110 monuments had been taken down last year. Another article said some 73. So I don't know which one it was, between 73 and 110, I would assume, been taken down. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, there's an attempt to erase our nation's history. I have today as our very special guest, Derby Ulloa, and I am thankful that he is with us. He has a great repertoire of information historically about that. Just before our news break, he was giving a paraphrase of a statement from Walter Williams, the historian and great American of yesteryear. Economist was his background. And Derby, if you would, before I take our caller, if you would be kind enough to tell us again your statement in relationship to what Walter Williams had said and how that fits in to what we're talking about with our monuments today.
Well, he said simply that blacks should be thankful for slavery, because without slavery, blacks would not have come here and they would not have been born in America. Mm-hmm. And then today they would be African citizens, not American citizens. And let me add to that that blacks and Asians and every other ethnic group has benefited from living under a white Christian European culture. Almost all the inventions of the 19th and 20th century that have made our life so comfortable were developed in the Western world, in Western culture. Television, computers, etc. Everything was developed in Europe or the USA, not in Africa or the Middle East. Dr. Ben Carson, if he had been born in Africa, he would have never been a great surgeon or a presidential candidate. So he owes it to America, to the white culture.
What we have today is a result of America and what God has done in blessing America.
And the Europeans who came over to assimilate and become Americans, not to change America into their former country.
That's right. That's right. At Derby, hold on a moment. Hold your thoughts. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you so much. Same to you.
Okay. I got 2 statements, and that's it. And I'll get off the phone. Number one, if a culture does not recognize their history, if you don't look at history, you're doomed to repeat it. You are definitely doomed to repeat it. And number 2, Biden had stuff that wasn't even, classified information that wasn't even you know, you can get to it. Yeah, one of the safes, I think, had his house and where he had his office. So when you were saying that the election was stolen, if the people can't see that, because they filed those in November, I believe.
But they Brother, you're back. Exactly right, and I'm glad you touched on that, because what you're saying is, for the benefit of the hearer that may not understand fully the context of what you're saying, they've tried to persecute, prosecute, demean, and trying to destroy the reputation of Donald J. Trump by raiding his home in Mar-a-Lago and taking boxes and boxes and boxes of documents that they claim should not have been with him, that should have been in the archives. And yet we find today, we're finding more and more in the past week now, finding more and more each day of documents that were classified, and Vice President Joe Biden had no authority to declassify them and say that he had the right to have them. They're being found in his office. They're being found in his home. They're being found in his historic library. And yet we don't hear a hue and cry from the socialist, communist, Marxist media that's claiming that he needs to be prosecuted as a result of it, or in some way removed from office as a result of it. I believe that's what you're saying. And you're exactly right, spot on with your statement. And you're exactly right with what needs to be done, is to recognize that he's a counterfeit. He is a, fraudulent president. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call. You're exactly right. Keep on keeping on. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that God gave us the idea, if you please, of monuments. Derby, what are the thoughts you have in relationship to what you're saying and completing your thoughts on that?
Okay, America is the greatest country in the world.
Amen.
But there are a few things that maybe Americans could learn from other countries, like little old Cuba before Castro. In the 50s in Cuba, there were no black schools, no black churches, no black beaches, no black water fountains. They were not counting races all the time as we do here. There was no date to celebrate the end of slavery like Juneteenth. Well, I don't know of a single country in Latin America that celebrates such a date.
Right.
And so we have to stop counting races and count people. I'd like to give you a definition of slavery that applies. What is it? When people are forced to work for the benefit of others who don't do the work. Well, that is exactly what we have today. I am a slave because I am forced to pay taxes, to pay for people who are lazy, who don't work, and also help the illegal aliens. So, Dr. Youngblood, you and I are slaves of the federal government. How come nobody complains about that slavery, which is happening right now to millions and millions of Americans?
I would amen that. Most have not looked at it. By the way, let's go back to this. Don't want to hammer on it too much. But our listeners to understand, there is a nexus in that thought. You go back to the origin of slavery. Black people sold their own people.
Sure.
That was the origin of it. Origin of it was from Africa into Europe, then into America. It was something that America did not orchestrate, set up, and begin. It was begun outside the realm of America's founding fathers, but yet they became a portion and a part of it. So,
but throughout history, everybody has been a slave or a slaveholder.
That's right.
In Europe, whenever there was a war between two areas, the loser became slaves. And the Romans were enslavers. When they won, when they lost, they became slaves. Mm-hmm. And the same happened everywhere in the world. So stop this white bad, southerners bad, black people, poor people. No, Asia, Africa, everybody has slavery. Period. Accept that and get over it and move on and become united citizens of the USA. Not globalists, but Americans.
America was the first nation to eradicate it, the first nation to put it aside, the first nation to say no. And so the point that we're making, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have the movement today of destroying our monuments on the basis that they represent slavery, and that is simply untrue. That was not the mindset and the thought. Derby, let's go from a national level about the historic legacy monuments and drop down to a local level. What is taking place in the city of Jacksonville? Tell us about both sides of the issue. Tell us about where you stand on it, where you come down on it, and what we, the people and our listeners, can do in relationship to preserving it.
Well, I'd like to say a few words about our educational system, that schools were meant to teach the three R's and nothing else. So whatever is not three R's should not be taught or discussed in the schools. And also that we have too much money spent on administration. To reinforce that point, I would like to quote from the Center for Education Statistics from the U.S. Department of Education. And this is about the percent growth of population in public schools in relation to students, teachers, and administrators. The students grew from the year 2000 to 2019 by 7.6%. Mm-hmm. The teachers grew by 8.7%, but the administrative bureaucracy grew by 87.6%. So much money is spent on people that don't produce anything. They just move things around and are overpaid. It's just like the ever-growing federal bureaucracy. Too many bureaucrats, too many federal employees. We need less of that and more people who are actually working. I want to talk about sex education. Well, there should be no sex education in the schools. Period.
Amen.
This is what we should teach: human biology, that is anatomy, physiology, and hygiene. Anatomy describes the organs, the parts of the body. Physiology tells you how they work, and hygiene tells you how to keep them in good working order. That should be taught from the very first grade, but nothing about sexuality or sexual preference or anything like that. Another thing that we don't need in schools is sports. I'm sure most people would disagree with me, but we need physical education. Sports do not prepare you for a career in life, only to a handful, to the elite, to the jocks, to the athletes. But the average person can do without sports in schools. Sports are not part of the liberal arts. And here's an idea that I have concerning education, is a voucher for senior citizen. Let me explain. I pay taxes, property taxes, all kinds of sales tax, and part of that money goes to the schools, right?
Right.
So why should I fund a school system that is incompetent, worthless? Mm-hmm. I would like a voucher to me so that I can then give that money to the private or religious school of my choice.
Right.
As a senior citizen, I don't have children in school, but I am paying for it. So let me pay for a school that I like, not for the public school system. I wish Governor DeSantis would do that. And that is just an original idea. Never heard of anybody say that.
Well, one of the things, if I could jump in for a moment, Derby, and then we'll take our next caller. We had good education in America basically until the U.S. Department of Education. Jimmy Carter put in the U.S. Department of Education, you go to a graph and see the education dropping, plummeting since the U.S. Department of Education went into effect. In fact, most are not aware of the fact that by executive order, Donald J. Trump had directed Betsy DeVos to shut down the U.S. Department of Education. It was never done, never started, never instituted, but he had already started the process that we needed to shut down the U.S. Department of Education. If we shut down the U.S. Department of Education, we could save hundreds of millions of dollars in tax money,
billions
that's being wasted, and our education, in fact, on Fox News first thing this morning, 6:30 this morning, I was watching, and Fox News was talking about the fact that we are the lowest in the total world, we're the lowest academically on what you and I would call reading, writing, and arithmetic. But we need to understand the nexus of what we're talking about. It is the cult, the woke cult culture that's destroying our educational system today. And as a result of that, we're seeing the plummeting of those academics and the abilities. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, I'd like to ask Darby a question that those statues, the men that's on the statues, is he aware those were Democrats? That the Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, is the one that issued the Emancipation Proclamation. So if it was Republicans that got rid of the slavery issue, and it was Democrats that actually initiated it, why we got our hair on fire? I mean, why isn't that brought out today? The Republican Party was formed in the mid-1850s with only two things in mind, was the end of slavery and the end of a man having multiple wives, polygamy. So why isn't the truth come out?
One of the things, and you can – You're exactly right. One of the things that we need to recognize, Tom, and you're exactly right, bringing up that point. We have those today with the hair on fire, as you call it, that's claiming those monuments need to come down. But as you said, it's the Democrats. Darby, how do you respond to his question?
Well, I think he said that the monuments, the people in the monuments are Democrats or who built the monuments.
Which one was that you were speaking of, Tom?
That the monuments almost to the man are Confederates, which were Democrats. Jefferson Davis, he was a radical slave owner, and he believed in beating your slaves, but
I'm sure nobody's perfect, but the thing is that it doesn't matter if the people in the monuments were Democrats or Republican. They are history and should not be destroyed, touched, period. And Lincoln, the Civil War wasn't just because of slavery.
That's right.
There were many issues. Lincoln couldn't care about slavery. He just wanted more soldiers to fight the South. One thing that few people have said, too, is that the Civil War, the so-called Civil War, let me explain this. Two people get married. And somebody wants to get divorced. Do you allow the wife to get divorced? Of course you do. Well, because there were two legal entities that joined to form something else. The union was several states' different entities that became a union, the federal government. And if one came in willingly, that entity should be able to secede legally. So Lincoln was a bully. It's like saying, women, you cannot get divorced because you cannot destroy the marriage. Well, if you want to get divorced, you get divorced. If you want to secede from the Union, you do that. The South did not attack the North. They just wanted to leave the Union. So that was not a civil war. It was a war of secession, a northern invasion to force the South, among other things, to abolish slavery and taxes and et cetera, et cetera.
Well stated, absolutely. Tom, do you have any follow-up on that?
Yes, I do know there was more. Slavery was not the issue.
Yes.
There was a tariff where the South couldn't sell its goods abroad. It was forced to sell them wholesale to the North, which was all manufacturing. But we've been led to believe and told that it was because of slavery.
We've rewritten history about the woke culture, the woke council culture that we're in today. And many people, Tom, many people have a major, major, major misunderstanding, miseducation, and misdirected as to what caused the what is called the Civil War and that it was based on slavery. It was not. It was a commerce factor. It was something that was a battle in relationship to seceding, as Derby just mentioned. And yet we have people today wanting to destroy our heresy, our historical monuments, to destroy the Constitutional Republic. The same people that want to tear down the monuments want to revisit whether or not we should be a socialist Marxist nation, a communist nation, or a constitutional republic. Tom, you're exactly right, brother. Thank you so much for your call. Looking forward to what God is going to do as we continue to honor him. Derby, let's drill down a little further in relationship to, do you have any other thoughts about education, what you wanted to touch on?
No, let's move on to elections or
McCarthy. Yes, we have. We talked about elections earlier in relationship to the gerrymandered machines that count the votes. We just had an election in the U.S. House of Representatives where Speaker McCarthy is now Speaker. Tell us your position on Kevin McCarthy, whether or not that was a legitimate election. Is he going to be a good Speaker? What are your thoughts on that? What are your comments in relationship to the future?
Okay, this is not to take away all the good things that President Trump did and said. Okay, he is my my hero. However, when he does something wrong, he should be called out.
That's right.
He should have never endorsed McCarthy. McCarthy is a rhino, period. McCarthy never defended Trump after the November 2020 election. McCarthy never has defended the J6 prisoners. So why is he the only person who can lead the Republican Party? We have hundreds of people who could do a better job who are not proven rhinos.
Not only those things, but Derby, most are not aware of the fact that when Trump was in office, we had the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office controlled by the Republicans when Donald J. Trump was elected. Kevin McCarthy tried to undermine everything Trump wanted to do in draining the swamp in 2017, 2018. So I have been baffled, just as you, I think, have been, why Trump would have publicly been outspoken in wanting him to be elected. Hold your thoughts for a moment, Derby. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi. This is a very interesting discussion to me. What a lot of people do not know, as well as many of the facts that your guest is bringing up, is that the Emancipation Proclamation only freed the slaves that were in the states that they called in rebellion. There were slaves in other places, too, that were not freed by the Emancipation Proclamation. And that's something that I don't think people understand a lot. And I, too, am baffled about President Trump endorsing McCarthy to be the Speaker of the House. He's definitely stood in the way of everything that Trump tried to do in his 4 years in office. And I still do love and admire Trump. I mean, President Trump. But I just, you know, I don't know. I don't understand that view that he made public. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Miranda, for your input. Debbie, one of the things we have coming up now in March is the primary election. The major, major, major election in our city could have an indelible impact on where we go politically, socially in our city. Tell us about the election coming up, the candidates that's running. What is your preference? What are your thoughts in relationship to it? And how important do you see it?
I see it
is an interlocutive with these things we're talking about.
Of course. I see we have many local candidates with lots of money. For example, I have gotten a birthday card from Daniel Davis. Now, why should I don't even know him, never seen him. Why should he care about me? I have gotten Christmas cards from several other politicians elected and running for office. I have never gotten that before. So they got money from special interest PACs. Mm-hmm. Now, I like to say that my favorite candidate, Al Ferraro, is not taking any money from these big PACs. Everything is from regular people like you and me.
Yes.
And so he will not send me a birthday card. Mm-hmm. Ferraro is the only one who has defended the monuments.
That's right.
He has talked about the unnecessary tax increases for the school board, because actually the school board, and he said it, has a bigger budget than the city.
Right.
So it is that the school board is incompetent in handling their budget. So I also like to put in a good plug for my future councilman, Mike Gay. Mike Gay is running for District 1. He is District 2. Okay, I'm sorry. Who is to replace Al Ferraro, because Ferraro is running. It's termed out. He's running for mayor. So to me, Mike Gay is like a Ferraro, a businessman, honest, who doesn't need the money or the influence. He just cares about the city and the future of the country. That is why he's running, and that is why I support him. Mike Gay and Al Ferraro, my councilman and my mayor for the future.
Al Ferraro, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, is the candidate that would be better suited for the city of Jacksonville as mayor. I've had the privilege of interviewing Al several times on this broadcast, and still will a number of times prior to the election. You have two or three of the candidates that's running that's got mega millions in the war chest. Al Ferraro has a few thousand, and yet he is a grassroots candidate for the mayor of the city of Jacksonville. And by the way, if I can make a large transition for a moment, Derby, one of the things that we failed to do when Mike Hill was in District 1, represented for the state of Florida, he introduced, I believe it was, I could be corrected, I believe it was House Bill 97. And in that particular bill, it would have made it illegal to remove any monuments in the state of Florida. The Republicans in charge in the House at that time refused to allow the bill to even go to the floor. It's because the Republicans do not want to take a stand on that issue. I'm not trying to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I believe we need to have those that are Republican in reality and not just in name only. And I believe Al Ferraro is that candidate. Al is for restoring the monuments, for keeping the monuments, for having a historical legacy monument.
And adding more monuments.
Pardon?
And adding more
monuments. Adding more monuments, absolutely. So I think that it would be wise, ladies and gentlemen, for us to understand what we have in some of our candidates in making the decision and making the effort to vote. It goes back to, what is the date of the election in March?
Early March.
Early March. I've gotten the exact date. But that is the primary. And then beyond the primary, ladies and gentlemen, will be the general election. And we will have a number of them that will be running. So let's back up for just a moment, Derby, and talk about our educational system in Duval County. Dr. Dana Green is the superintendent of schools. She was not elected by the people. She was contracted by people sitting in a smoke-filled back room making a decision. The last three superintendents we've had to pay them to leave because they fouled the system up so much. Dr. Diana Green falls in that category. And I have recommended on this broadcast that she either be fired or resign. She has brought from the Miami-Dade school system a failed school system. She's brought those same principles and practices to Duval County to destroy the Duval County schools. She has made it her business to try to undermine, circumvent, and to refuse to obey the new law for the state of Florida that says you cannot teach the critical race theory and you cannot teach the LGBTQ sodomite agenda in the classroom. She's doing that anyway, and she's doing it on the basis that rather than using that curriculum that's already there, she says, we will just have the curriculum rewritten. So they're engaging those from the LGBTQ community, engaging those from the murder by way of abortion, Planned Parenthood, to write the curriculum. I believe we need to remove Dana Green as superintendent of schools. I believe personally we need to go back to an election of the superintendent of schools rather than having them contracted and appointed by the good old boys club. Your final thought?
Also, the school board, when they run for office, we should know if they're Republican or Democrat. They act like, for the kids, they're really communists.
That's right.
Most of them. So they are overpaid, underwork, and especially all the administrators that Dr. Green has brought in that are not necessary. It's
yes.
A waste of time.
Yes.
And
thank
waste
you.
Of money.
Thank you so much, Derby, for joining us today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
On 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM, you're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.